through the teen years. I didn't even get a chance to know her before it. I met her at 11, and I went through the teen years with her. If I could do that and walk away with just a handful of gray hair, I can. I'm prepared for my son, who I've taught from.
I honestly can't wait till I have kids and they turn teenagers, because I'd like to see them outdo just how bad I was as how bad I am as a teenager. I mean, being a rebellious pain in the ass is the reason why I'm still a smoker.
You know what? Please forgive these words, because I do not know your parents. There are no bad children. It's bad parents. My daughter at 15 lived common law with her 18-year-old boyfriend in my husband's home. My 16-year-old stepdaughter stole $500 out of my wallet, not once, but twice, because her father paid me back. It's not bad children, it's bad parents. When you are a hypocrite to your child, they remember that. Regardless of what age you start becoming a hypocrite, they know you're a hypocrite. And the worst thing that a parent can be in their child's eyes is a hypocrite. Because how dare you tell me that I can't, but you can, because you're an adult? Now, I'm my own person, and I'm going to rebel worse than I normally would rebel, because every child rebels in their own way. Some are short, some are long. It all depends on the parents. I never, ever, ever blame a child for anything they do. I always, always blame the parents, including my own son. When you're a hypocrite, they hate you for that. And you make them torn between their love for you and their hate for you as a hypocrite. Where when you teach them that you're not a hypocrite, like me with my son, if I say the F word in front of him, Mama, do you want to go in time out? I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm so sorry. I'll wash my mouth. It's not allowed to say the F word. What, because I'm an adult? I used to hate when my mother would tell me, do as I say, not as I do. It drove me crazy. And I won't do it with my son. And I watched the difference between my son and my husband's children, because he let them go wild, but he was a hypocrite. He would punish them for the stupidest things and do it himself. And they both kill me. We hate him for that.
Punish them by watching them make out, by making them watch him do the stupid thing that they were doing?
Well, he grounded his daughter for smoking a joint. And 5 minutes after he grounded his daughter for smoking a joint, he went in the basement and smoked a joint. Excuse me, idiot. And you're not expecting your child to resist about that? Hello? When my son starts, and I know my son's going through because he's my son, he damn well better do it in my house. Because this world is not big enough if somebody laces my son's weed. He better let me be the one that takes care of him. I'll never supply him, and I'll never buy it. But I will watch over my child. And I will correct his actions. And I will let him know how stupid his mother was, how much money his mother wasted as a young, foolish adult. And he will have his own path. But he won't have me. You can't do that because...
Well, you did it yourself.
Exactly.
I don't know what
I started smoking when I was 7. I started smoking at my son's age. Well, my brother got me smoking, but... I'm sorry, what did you say? Did you ask me how old I was?
You're 41.
Oh, no, I'm 42 now. turned 42 in May.
I was just guessing by the age you got pregnant and by the age your son is. So.
Oh.
But I forgot to add the 9 months in between this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one thing I always loved about hypocrisy with my parents. Well, my dad used to be really bad for swearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually got him on it when I got older. Casual swearing might, yeah, there's nothing wrong with casual swearing, but it makes you seem like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much I swear. I really lose track.
I don't think, I can't really have note recall anything. Your cat, when she peed in your room, I think you,
well, she didn't,
you know,
pee in my room, she peed on me.
So there was, you know, it's those episodes that I can associate, okay, you swearing, but not off the cuff,
yeah,
kind of.
I might occasionally drop the F-bomb whenever I run into something, or
yeah,
if I start, you know, stubbing my toe 4 or 5 times in a couple minutes. But
I think you're very well-mannered.
I used to swear a lot, though, and my dad would always tell me not to do it. Eventually, I stopped swearing as much.
Mm-hmm.
And when he kept swearing, I pointed it out. There's nothing wrong with casual swearing, but it makes you seem like an idiot. And he's gotten a lot better, I have to give him that.
Yeah.
Got my dad a few times. I'm sure he's dropped it once or twice in a conversation, but
I can't recall him having a pirate mouth or anything. So.
He's gotten a lot better than what he used to be, when every third word was something.
Yeah, and see, my son was getting a potty mouth because his father and Fred loved the F word. And
who doesn't?
Used it every two words, where I replaced the F word with freaking. Oh, freaking pissed me. You know, and I come up with all, you'll hear me say, oh, sweet jambalaya. And
that's always been one of my favorites. I'm sorry, it honestly might be a little bit racist, but every time I hear jambalaya, there's just something that I have to associate it now after I've met you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've heard it more than a few times with you. I associate it specifically to,
yeah,
not to say, but think older, but older black lady.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes me laugh a little bit.
Very little offends me.
I don't.
Jambalaya.
I don't hear that ever, except
yeah. I just, you know,
hey, it's all
like
good.
I said, I keep,
jambalaya.
Yeah, I try using words, that, and then when I, like I said, when I'm not around, I might still try and use those. Believe me, there will be a day when you'll go, that's Loretta speaking. Oh, somebody get that woman a bar of soap. I do have my moments, but you know what, I've never really been much of a swearer because I've had management position jobs, I owned my own company, so I always had to
refrain from it.
Yeah, and even when I got older, I started doing autopsies, so I was around doctors and lawyers and judges and cops, and so I had to present myself in an air of their stature, so I was never, you know, not until I got home and talking to my husband, did those ugly words come out of my mouth? I've never really had much of a potty mouth. Now that I have a child, I have even less of a potty mouth, unless I'm mad. But you know what? Again, I'm not a hypocrite there either, because when my son's mad, that's the only time he's allowed to use those words. And strangely enough, as strange as it sounds, I found by allowing him to release his feelings, I kept his anger under control. Because he'd come home and say, Mom, my effing dad just effing gave me trouble because I want to come home. Oh, he makes me. And then I'll say, don't say the F word again. Because you just released your anger. There is no need for that word to come out. Freaking makes him mad. So he makes up freaking for me. And that's how I do it. When I'm mad, I'm allowed to release, but he will correct me. Mama, I think it's time to calm down now.
As long as there's no major access hypocrisy in the house. I think that everything might turn out well.
I try not to. You know, I'm not perfect by no means, but I try not, even with my smoking. He picks up cigarette butt like all children do with smoking.
I tell him, you know how stupid your mother is for smoking? Seriously? Do you like kissing me after that? He's like, no. Well, then why would you want to put it... Mama's stupid. Uncle John got me smoking when I was a little girl, and I didn't know all these things that I know now. You know, they didn't have all this information when I was a little girl. You know all that. Don't be stupid like Mama.
When I first started smoking, my friends didn't know, but eventually I found out after about 6 months of me smoking. And it was Christmas. It's the first time I lit up a cigarette inside the house. I forgot because I'd smoke at my girlfriend's house, I'd smoke at my friend's house, I'd smoke at school, I'd smoke when I'd go on walks. If I wanted a cigarette inside the house, I'd go on a walk, but it's Christmas, the whole family's there. You can't go on a walk.
That's right.
I'm talking with my sister-in-law, and I sit there, and I grab my cigarette case, which my mother didn't even know I'd taken, because it was her old case when she was a kid, and then she got plastic cases because she worked a lot more often, and she didn't want to lose it at work, because it was her father's before that, so she left it in a cabinet, and she never touched it, and I picked it up. Some might call it stealing, some might call it putting it to use.
Yeah.
Rather than get tobacco everywhere, I decided to start using a case. I decided to start using a case, and I took it out of my dress pants pocket and put one in my mouth and left one up. And everybody went quiet. Did I miss something?
Yeah.
And she asked me to go smoke out on the step, in the balcony.
Yeah.
Right? Their house. One of them smoked on the balcony, and she lit up a cigarette. Why don't you come and join me out on the balcony? Jesse, it's cold outside. I'm not coming out on the balcony with you. All right. It's cold outside. I'm coming back in.
Yeah.
Since then, I didn't have any problems smoking inside the house.
Yeah.
Throw a fit. My favorite part of all the hypocrisies, and all the best hypocrisies seem to happen at Christmas.
Yes.
Just
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Let's have an argument. Oh, every one of my Christmases has had an argument. I moved out of my friend's house about a month earlier. Just last Christmas, and I came back, and my mother and me, both the only two in our immediate family that actually enjoyed wine. Father didn't like wine. He stopped drinking after he killed his alcoholism. Actually, my little brother was a rum person, and my older brother and my older sister, both of them didn't drink. When they did drink, they had a cooler and left it there.
Yeah.
There was those type of drinkers. They'd have half of it throughout 6 hours and leave it on the table afterwards. So me and my mother started drinking. My mother has developed alcoholism lately since I moved out. From the year before that, she's been slowly developing it, but ever since I moved out, it's been a lot more prominent. So she started to yell at me about 2 a.m. in the morning for me having drank so much. I had about 3/4 of a bottle of wine. Well, Mom, I've had 2 now. Are you really a person to talk?
Yeah.
I think that's when she realized that I wasn't exactly the best person for her to be complaining to about alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
I will admit, I've had my fair part of alcohol consumption.
I quit drinking because I'm an alcoholic.
Had my fair part, and I think I'm a little bit more responsible than the rest of my siblings. Well, sibling Casey went to a party once here, birthday party of my friends. I was about to leave that school, so it was the last time I was going to hang out with any of my friends while we were still in school together. Birthday party, and I decided to bring Casey because a lot of my friends were his friends. Well, my girlfriend at the time. We all had a nice evening. I sat down on a lawn chair next to the fire with the birthday boy, and we spent all night talking. His girlfriend was talking to my girlfriend. Casey was out having a blast with all his friends, and my friends. He comes back, and I ask him what happened with all the alcohol. Like, you know, I went and got you. That was finished about an hour ago. What have you been drinking? Sam's rum. Well, why are you drinking Sam's rum when I bought you a ridiculous amount that should have lasted you for the most of the summer? You're having a good time. I was on my second beer 2 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of disappointed in that night.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's smart enough. He had a little diabetic attack.
Oh.
Casey's pre-diabetic at age 15.
Yeah.
He was 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete went 2 days before to go for diabetes tests.
Oh, really?
He would have got them back for another couple of days or a couple of weeks, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They had a gun, that's back. He went to a party, and as I said, he's a whiskey person. Dark liquor is his favorite.
Yeah.
So he had a rum and coke, and he decided for the first time he's going to pace himself at a party.
Mm-hmm.
Not be the idiot throwing up in a toilet again.
Yeah.
So he has rum and coke. He fills most of it up with coke, and just adds maybe a fourth of a cup of rum.
Mm-hmm.
He gets halfway through the drink before he starts showing the symptoms of overdosing.
Oh.
Of having alcohol poisoning. So my father comes and he picks him up and he drives all of his friends home that are freaking out because once Casey started convulsing,
mm-hmm.
the party kind of crashed.
Yeah, that happens.
He's kind of the
way
socialite.
Of doing that.
Casey's kind of a socialite. He tries to be the life of the party, and he usually is.
Mm-hmm.
When he went down, I think a few people freaked out and kind of ruined the mood.
Yeah.
I think I don't think I've seen him since then have any alcohol at all, except one time with me when we had a margarita together.
Oh, yeah.
One each, and he didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
He took two or three sips and left it on the table. Went to do his own thing.
Body.
Yeah.
Oh, he's... Apparently, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no reason. He's not diabetic and pre-diabetic. He's just likely to get it later on if he doesn't watch his health.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to love Italian sausages when I was really young, but then I ate too much of them.
Oh, yeah.
And so my body took a while. Like, I can eat them now. But I've done it before with foods and certain alcohols. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's any alcohol.
Brownies. You know that, eh? You know the story. I haven't told it already yet. OD'd on it. Brownies.
Oh.
Special ones.
Yeah.
Lost the day. I slept the entire day.
Oh, I've done that so many times.
And that's when I was like, oh, shit.
The only time I've ever cleaned out was,
It was in your bed. I was crashed. You know, it was like, oh, man.
I quit drinking at 21 because I was an alcoholic. I woke up with my first hangover. I said, oh, my God, I don't feel well. I must be coming down with something. My husband asked me what my symptoms were, and I told him. He said, oh, you're just having a hangover. I said, oh, what? He said, you're having a hangover. I said, that's it. I quit. Only alcoholics have hangovers, and I'm quitting drinking because I'm an alcoholic. And I quit for 10 years. Now I quit. Well, I drink socially so much that I got a 26er of Appleton in the freezer. And
Appleton?
Yeah.
I have no clue what that is.
Oh, rum, sorry. Jamaican rum. And I've had it in the freezer since I came here on the
And you haven't touched it?
I haven't touched it.
That's good. Like, you know, I'm a social soaker, or, you know, whatever
yeah.
the occasion presents itself kind of thing.
I'll admit I'm kind of a lush occasion or not. If I can have some, I might. Mm-hmm. I might. There's some restraint.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved in here.
Yeah.
March break. I hadn't had any alcohol. I was tired of hearing stories of all my friends going out and getting drunk and this and that. My girlfriend went out and got drunk with her friends. I'm not exactly a social person.
Yeah.
Don't mind being social. This isn't exactly a pet peeve of me, but I'm more of a solitary person, or I'd rather be one-on-one or in a small group than
yeah.
be out. I'd rather sit at home and do something that I find amusing than being out and
that's right.
trying to get into a bar or hanging out at a party with 30 people that I don't know.
Yeah. So would I, yeah.
I'm more of a small group sort of person. So I didn't really think, you know, maybe I should ask one of my friends and go hang out with him and a couple other guys.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be my drinking for March break.
Yeah.
Instead I had some gold fiber, which your mother must have told you about.
No.
Everybody's heard that story, I think.
I haven't heard it, I just...
Why, did you find some gold fibers?
Roll told me when I first moved in, because I had planned to go to four or five parties one night with Emily. And he's like, well, because my ex-girlfriend burned all my alcohol, along with my tent, my bike, most of my clothes, etc. But she burned about $160 worth of my alcohol, which I stored at her house. Because my parents, at the time, I was living more at her house. I'd be at her house for 2 weeks and then come back to my house for 6 or 7 hours and then go back to her house. It was my house. We shared a room, basically. I was living there almost full time. I'd just come back, grab one of my things that I needed that I didn't bring the last time I'd gone back. Like, if I wanted to go grab a book that I wanted to read, I'd drop by and pick it up, and then I'd walk or bike back to her house. And her parents were fine with that. They took me in as their son, almost. So when I broke up with her, when we broke up, she had most of my stuff there, and she decided to burn it all. And Stroll, I was still kind of down when I met Stroll, so he knew about it. And he's like, well, if ever you guys, if you need some alcohol, obviously you're broke. So my parents have some downstairs, so if you want to have some, you can have some. Just make sure you put the bottles back, make sure you sit in that. So I was like, all right, but I don't think I'll need that. I just figured the parties were BYOBs, but I'm pretty charming. I can get some anyway. I didn't end up going to any of the parties. And I took Stroll's word for it, which later on I learned not to do anymore. After that night, I learned not to do it anymore. So there's a bottle of Goldschläger, and it was about half full, a big bottle. And I brought that up to my room one night, before last day of March break. And I spent my evening talking to Emily and getting pretty drunk. And the next morning, I come downstairs about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm chipper as hell. Just had a fun night. And your mother asked me, where's the Goldschläger? It's upstairs in my room. Why is it upstairs in your room? So told me I could have some alcohol, and I had some last night. No.
Awesome.
I realized that, Roll told me I could. Nobody introduced me to the rule. I still have yet to get the rule book that I keep asking for. I don't know what to do or not until I do something wrong and they point it out that I've done something wrong.
Basically, rule of thumb is go with the elders, you know? Like, fly it by my parents, fly it by Al.
See, after a month of being there, nobody has. I still was trying to figure everything out.
Yeah.
I'm still up to, like, everybody's comfort. I'm sure I was waking you up last night. No?
No. Like, just have a heavy sleeper, I guess.
I came upstairs at about 4 o'clock in the morning back up to the computer room because I needed a desk for my mouse. Sit down on the computer chair. Creak! Forward a bit. Creak! Plug in my laptop charger. The big click. My ears are getting all super sensitive. I'm looking back towards Phil's room every 15 minutes to make sure he's not standing in the doorway.
you're being quiet enough, so that's good.
Yeah. I just assume Stroll is to be trusted on a month in. He was 29, he was 27. He seems responsible. I never watched Stroll and your mother get into an argument just today, and I've been avoiding it by staying mostly in my room. And after that, I came downstairs more often. I saw it once or twice and was like, no, I should listen to Hazler more than Stroll. Hazler looks out for my ass. Stroll just wants me to do whatever. I learned my lesson that night. It hasn't happened since. And the only times I've had alcohol since is once having margaritas with Casey, which was under adult supervision, and twice this past weekend, one beer each. Not a heavy drinker.
I'm not a heavy drinker either.
I wish I was. Honestly, that would,
I used to be
more amusing than sitting here sober all the time. But I can't complain. I enjoy being sober.
What's up, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Jesus.
No.
He's going to turn into a schizophrenic cat. He's not going to know his name. Jesus, Zeus, and Pat.
Oh, everybody's naming cats now, huh?
Well.
Same one, pretty much. The other one just gets lumped together.
I call.
Team Fighter, Paul.
I call one of those.
How aggressive they are.
I call one of those black ones Hercules, which everyone watches the fire with us, that's Hercules. This one, I was calling Zeus, because he was getting all brave. And then today I start calling him Pat.
No table.
It represents Peter and Taylor, because they forever scare the crap right out of me. They'll be across the room, next thing they're right beside me, and I haven't heard them coming. I'm like, do you guys float? How do you get from one end to the other and we not hear you? And I always get scared. If it's not Taylor scaring me, it's Peter scaring me.
Peter, I can believe. Taylor, not so much.
Oh.
Now, here's something I've
always
noticed in my
life.
I have one older brother, mm-hmm. and he's a very large person. He's
mm-hmm.
6'7"-ish.
Yes.
Upwards of 300 pounds, mm-hmm. and he always has been as long as I can remember. He was in grade 12, and he was in grade 8 when they asked him to take pictures with the teachers for school, because he was bigger than most of them, and he was captain of the rugby team. Matthew's always been a humongous person.
Mm-hmm.
So when Matthew moved into any house with us, we would never hear him coming. I'd be this scrawny little kid sneaking around, and everywhere I stepped would creak. Matthew would be this lumbering hulk that you couldn't tell was behind you if he was walking, because he would be as quiet as a cat. And I think that in my lifetime of experience, that's applied towards every heavier person I've ever met.
You know what? It's funny you say that.
Super quiet.
Because Fred and I joke about that all the time. I go down his basement stairs, and you don't hear me coming. That elephant goes down, and the whole neighborhood hears. He's like, how the hell do you get down there without making a sound? And I can't get on the first step of that loud scream.
What I think it is skinny people think, oh, I'm so small. No one will hear me coming. And then we purposely try and make as little sound as possible, and that makes as much sound as possible.
Yeah.
Larger people are like, what sound? Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to resent that for the rest of my life, because I've always tried to be sneaky, but never managed to pull it off.
Taylor's always scaring me, so is Peter. Yeah, I either be talking with somebody else and then they're right behind me, or they're turn my head and see them one spot and then they're right beside me. That's why I call the black and white one Pat, because Precious and the three dark ones all make noise coming into our trailer. Pat, he gets into the trailer and we have no clue until he's sitting up beside us on the bed or the couch.
Wow.
Someone, they just plop through. Same with Precious. This one, no, he's smart.
Me and Emily named them all whenever they were first born. That one was Jesus, she named him. Because he was whiter than the other ones.
Mm.
You know, typical white messiah. And white versus evil, good versus evil, white and black.
Mm-hmm.
I named the three darker ones because I thought they were the better looking of the three.
Yeah.
We named one male one King, and he tends to be the one who usually plays near the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or he sits at the steps sometimes. He used to a lot. And he just kind of acts like a watch cat.
Mm-hmm.
It was Paul, the dopier one. He's the least aggressive of them all.
Oh, that would be the one that they beat up and he just slept through it.
And there was Spider. And she seems to be the most aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when you're the only girl amongst three brothers.
Cool.
You named Paul after the alien?
No, I haven't seen him yet. I named him after Paul Subez. A friend of mine in Tazworth, he's a very mellow person. And that's not to say that he's not naturally mellow, but he mellows himself out with some help a lot.
Yeah. I like how you put that.
Actually, a lot of the Poles I know are stoners.
Oh my god. I think almost everybody I know is young, old. And everybody in between.
Yeah, look at that. Storm systems are pretty much all gone.
You should have been out here earlier. The moon was coming up. Clouds were there. Lightning strikes were going through the clouds as the moon's coming up through the cloud. Oh, it's beautiful.
Must have been a sight to see.
It was. I love nature. I love clouds. I love sky. It was because
there's still sunlight.
We have so much light pollution back home that for a lightning storm for us, it's not the same as here. You know, that lightning way over there would have been drowned out with our light at home. So when I'm in the country and I get a storm, it's like, oh, shit.
I don't know where you come from, though.
I'm originally from Hamilton. I live in Woodstock now. I hate both places. I hate Hamilton. I've never been a city slicker. When I was a little girl, my father would come and get us. I loved it. We lived. My father would have loved it here. My father lived off the land, and I enjoyed it with him. Nature threw me through, and my brother was a city slicker big time.
Do you have a mouse?
I think so.
Or she's just feeding them.
Just feeding them.
Okay. Cool.
And, you know, like, I'm 5 years old running through the cow's barn with my shoes off, my bare feet. My brother's going nuts because he can't get hot water. He's got to wait for the water to heat. I loved it. I lost my train of thought.
Tell me how your dad would have loved it here.
Yeah. I was off on the lightning and completely lost my train of thought. My dad would have. My father. If I would have been smart and listened to my father, oh my sweet jambalaya. That man was a survivalist pretty much his whole entire life, to the point that he could go out in nature and actually eat mushrooms. He knew which mushrooms he could and could not eat. There isn't too many survivalists that even go close to puffballs. Yeah, everybody knows they can eat a puffball. But the regular mushrooms, very, very few people will mess with them in nature because the poisonous ones look so much like now. But he could, my father, he could take the twig, a Y-shaped tree branch, and find water. And dig a well. He did everything by hand. We plowed the fields with a horse and plow. He refused to buy a tractor. We planted the seeds. We did the weeding. I had a yoke that I had to go down to the lake or the river to get our water and heat it and sterilize it. And then, he would have loved it here. And if I would have paid attention, I could have paid attention on some things, but not everything.
I've never understood how people choose if they're a city slicker or not.
A city slicker, my brother is a city slicker through and through. If the town shuts down at 6 o'clock, he's moving back to Hamilton. Me, if the town wakes up at 4 o'clock, I'm moving there. You know, when I first moved to Woodstock, nothing was open past 6 o'clock. And not even locals. The beer store was the only thing open on Friday and Saturday after 6 o'clock. Now they're open. There wasn't even Sunday shopping when I went. It was such a culture shock. Well, more a culture shock for my husband than for me, because I loved it. But for they were like still 10 years behind time, and I loved it. This setting, I love. I have nature in my blood. My brother, yeah, he had come for a weekend, but after the weekend, get him back to the city so he can turn on hot water.
I've been in places like New York and Toronto and Montreal, and I'm perfectly at ease. I mean, I've never been happier than walking through Manhattan and just absorbing it all. There's so much to do and see and hear. It's just overwhelming. And
do you come from a small town?
Come from Vancouver.
Oh,
literally a walk away. Katie walked down here just this week. My little brother, and I bike up to Vancouver Hill occasionally. A lot, actually, whenever I'm actually here.
See, that's why but you can appreciate the city.
I've come up, but I used to live on County Road 10 on the other side towards St. Bernadette, where we had a farm next to us, a farm behind us, farm in front of us, a farm next to us, another guy like us beside us, and my grandfather's woods behind us. Behind a huge field that we raised our own cows, a little pen that we built ourselves.
I was not designed for concrete and steel.
Nothing as survivalist as your father, but we were, I wouldn't say country folk, but it was kind of like here.
Well, it's pretty close to being good. My brother would call you country folk, so, you know, I would call
some
you lucky.
Do. Like, Emily called me country, Emily calls me country folk a bit, but honestly, my perfect setting would be a mix between the two, like in Vancouver Hill, where you can easily walk into fields, but at the same time, you can walk into the street and you're, you know, 5 seconds of walking away from the closest death and on. Oh, no, you're not anymore, it's like 1/3 down. You know, that's kind of where I'd love to be.
Not me. I've always said I was not designed for concrete and steel. My second husband and I, we were going to go and homestead up above the 60th parallel, because it's the only place in Canada you're allowed to homestead anymore. And for 2 years, I studied the weather up there. I studied how the storms came, how long they lasted, what they did, what the homesteaders who are there did for meals. I videotaped and recorded every program I could find. I was on the internet, and I loved it. Unfortunately, my parents became sick, and I had to step into my duties as the eldest daughter and take care of them, but I studied it and I would have loved it. We wanted to build a cob house and just be away from society. My whole entire life, my biggest dream has always been to live on a compound. When I first moved to Woodstock, we have a brethren there, and I had actually called and was going to go join. And then I found a few things out, that wouldn't fit well with me, so thank you for the inlay, but I think I better just keep looking.
Thank you. Be back in a minute. Just want to go get another cigarette.
Here, I got one, honey.
No, I feel
bad. No, please. I am really trying to quit, but...
I feel bad taking cigarettes from adults. I feel classless.
If I suck my thumb, will you pretend I'm a baby and take it from me?
Fine. That's it.
You can look at it as you're saving my life. I've been smoking longer than you've been alive. So for every cigarette you take from me, you add life back into me. I'm sorry for taking your life.
Is that all right?
No, seriously, I really do want to quit, and I'm going to quit, but it's really hard when
I can completely understand.
People around you smoking. It's a weak crutch, but it's a serious one.
I've only been able to quit once, and you can say you've been able to quit as many times as you want, if you're still smoking. People who aren't smokers won't understand.
Yeah.
No offense, Taylor. I quit for about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around my birthday, and I hadn't smoked, even through getting a gun pointed at my head by my own mother. But nothing that stressed me out make me smoke. I just distract myself somehow.
Yeah.
I was working out a lot, and I'd bike a lot. I was out of the house a lot, and I'll admit, I did my fair share of drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But anything to take my mind off, I wouldn't smoke.
Yeah.
But I had cigarettes with me at all times. You figured, if I'm going to relapse, well, I'll have something to do it with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I moved into my sister's place. I was there for about a week. And my older brother and his wife lived with them because they had kids. And her husband and my brother's and his wife, they were brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically, they were marrying each other's families.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had been around the house, and I kept myself mostly busy for the first week. I was at school, and then I was studying, and then I was sleeping, or I was talking with my girlfriend. I was always... My sister wasn't pregnant yet, but she was going to be soon enough, so we wouldn't be allowed to smoke it out. But my older brother didn't know I quit smoking. He'd never seen me smoke, because I was always in my room, which was the living room. But nobody came in. Nobody had ever seen me smoke.
Mm-hmm.
One day I got home from school, and it was just me and him, and I'd been bugging him for a week to spend time with me, because I hadn't seen him for about a year before that.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor must know how that is. For your little brothers to pester the crap out of you, to spend some time with you, and just do something.
A bit, I guess.
Taylor, you don't do this, and I'm not really in the mood, but you go and do it anyway to shut them up. They've been asking you for a week.
Not as much.
He came into my room one day, and my weekend is Friday.
Okay.
I didn't have any plans, and he asked me,
I'll be right back.
I said, yeah, and he hands me a cigarette, and he lights up his, and sitting there for a second. My older brother was my idol growing up.
Yeah, huh?
He started smoking before I did, and he's one of the reasons I've started smoking. Obviously, to be more like him.
Yeah, that's the same with me and my brother.
So, I had to make a choice. Do I smoke or not? And you figure, it's just one cigarette, whatever.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm smoking again.
Yeah.